Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us plenty of water in this world. And with the quantity of water we have, the amount of water we have, we take full benefit from this water. We drink water. Just as Allah Ta'ala has put the beautiful properties in water, Allah has spread the water out in rivers and oceans. It rains down from the skies, and we have fountains, and we have the seas and rivers and streams. So what we see here is that wherever you go, it doesn't look as if there's not enough water. Allah Ta'ala has given us plenty, masses of water. And we utilize the water in different ways. And how much do we value the water? We realize at that time the value of water, because we waste it a lot for no reason. We open the tap and we let it run. And we don't understand, we don't realize Allah's given us water. It's a treasure, it's a ni'mah. We don't pay attention. We don't focus at that time. Allahu Akbar, at what time will we realize about the greatness of water, the desperateness of water? Is that when a time comes in life or a condition befalls a person, that water is not available. It is not available at the time when we desperately need it. And these times can come in life. Rather, if I think on a small scale, or if we think on a small scale, that if you want to repair the water supply to your home, and they say that the water supply will be switched off for 3 days while we repair the line, then you think, oh, what should we do now? You fill up the bottles for drinking water, you fill up the buckets in the bathroom, and then there's distressed, oh, water's been switched off, what are we going to do, how are we going to bathe, how are we going to do what we need to do? So every person, wherever we look in this world, is relying on water. And when such a situation arises that water is not available, for every drop, we're desperate for that drop of water. That's when we realize how valuable is water. That's when we realize that verily I've wasted water in my life. If only I valued it, appreciated it, used it correctly. Every drop, imagine you get stuck in a desert, lost in a desert, or somewhere where there's a drought. Then we will value that how important and essential and valuable and precious was water. But we don't have that at the moment. We don't have that awareness and value. On the day of judgment, on the day of Hashr, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has narrated this, has told us this, that one individual will be there and he will be very distressed, in a state of distress. We all will be, everybody will be. But this example that has been presented and explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Habib of Allah, it is full of wisdom and hikmah. And I'll give you a little example of what they said, just before I went on to the hadith, of how important is water. So that person on the Day of Judgment, he will be distressed, sad, and anxious. And what will he need, that person, on that day? Why is he desperate? Why will he be worried and distressed? One deed. How much will he need? What will he need? One deed. Just one deed. That's it. Not more than one. Just one. And for the sake of that one deed, he will be so distressed, so frustrated. Those people he used to rely on and do things for, mother, father, brothers, sisters, friends, relatives, will run around asking for the deed and they won't give him the deed. They'll say, it's too hard, we can't give you a deed, and he won't obtain a deed. And what will happen on the day of Hashr? That every deed, upon one deed, the decision will be made for paradise and hell. One deed, if it is less in my account, I may go to hellfire. One deed, if I've got more, or I've got that deed I need, I may go to paradise. It's not a story. This is the statements of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can realize what we need to know. and be aware of. Just one deed. So he'll be so distressed, that individual, the noble prophet ﷺ mentioned that he will not get that deed from nowhere. And he will think at that time that my destiny is in hellfire and I'm going to be thrown into hellfire. Then he'll see, somebody will ask him, suddenly, why are you distressed? Why are you sad? What's the issue? You say, brother, I'm distressed. I'm in such a bad state. I'm about to go to hellfire. I didn't have that deed I needed. I had minus one deed of goodness. Then that person will say, okay, look, I've only got one deed anyway. So what's the point of me having that deed? So, okay, you take my good deed and you'll be successful. I'm going to hellfire anyway. My decision is automatically hellfire. So you take this deed and you become successful. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when he takes that deed and presents himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Allah, my Lord, I have got that deed, I've got that deed. You'll be happy. Allah will say, where did you get that deed from? Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows. Allah will ask. You'll say, Allah, that person said to me, I've only got one deed and I don't need it. It's no use to me. I'm destined for loss and destruction. So you take my deed and you will be successful. You will be fortunate and be successful. Allah's rahmah, mercy came into being at that time into rage. Allah said, before that, I was sending that person into Jahannam. That person who gave you the deed. And he is now going into paradise and you are also going into paradise. This is Allah's rahmah, His mercy and the decisions of Allah's mercy. So, today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much water, huge quantities of water, millions of gallons of water. And what happens? We have wells, water comes out of the wells. You go to the skies, clouds full of rain, so much water everywhere. But this is for the world. Allah Ta'ala has given water. Do we know this? Do we have an understanding and awareness? Are we conscious that how is this related to the Akhirah? That in the Akhirah hereafter, how will we be given forgiveness? How will Jannah and Jahannam be allotted? Has Allah Ta'ala not put a quantity there? Or a measurement there? This is nothing, the amount of water Allah has given us on this earth. Allah Ta'ala has given us so many ways and means and paths and methods of obtaining and earning good deeds that there's no limit whatsoever. There's a limit to the water, but no limit to the opportunities. With every breath of a mu'min, we have the opportunity to earn a good deed. And how? Let's think that how we will regret on that day if we have not utilized the time we've got now in the world, in this life, the time, the seconds, the moments, the things that Allah Ta'ala has given to us through which we can earn good deeds. Good deeds. Allah Ta'ala says that I've given you so many more opportunities to acquire and earn good deeds, much more than the amount of water I've given in the universe. That's nothing. Allah said there's so many means, so many ways and methods and techniques you can adopt and practice to earn good deeds. And even despite all of that, we have no deeds. We have less quantity of deeds. We'll be desperate for deeds. So how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has presented this hadith, that how he is awakening us. He's making us become alert. He's trying to make us be aware that nothing will be of use in the hereafter. One deed, we don't even think about that deed today in the world while we're living. We don't even think about doing a deed. We don't value the deed. There's no weight on the deed. But on that day, we'll be desperate for the deed. Allah's given us kalamat, recitation, verses, deeds, opportunities from morning till night. If I'm focused and alert, not one second of my day can pass where I don't earn a good deed. Allah Ta'ala has given us this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained this to us. Close your eyes for a few seconds and ponder and reflect that how much time, how many opportunities I had in these 12 hours, 24 hours I've wasted through which I did not earn good deeds. How much time I've wasted? Tell me from morning till night. We will have spoke, chatted, gone to the shop, business, transactions, met friends. If today I analyze my past 12 hours, 24 hours, analyze properly, correctly, deeply. Maybe I prayed salah. After salah, maybe I did a bit of tasbih, some nafal, and I become so happy that I've done maximum for my hereafter. Think. That's it. That's enough for me. Oh, I've recited Quran a little bit. I'm satisfied. That's it. So much, so easy for me to be satisfied. Look at the quantity of deeds that we can accrue and attain. Allah's given us so much water. Water for bathing, drinking, istinja. For everything we need water in the world, in life, don't we? We need water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I've given you so much water so you can fulfill your requirements. So we need the good deeds in the hereafter more than here, much more than here. And the decisions of Jannah, paradise, the maqams of Jannah, Allah's happiness, all of this will be based on what? The good deeds. The good deeds. We will earn everything in the hereafter due to the good deeds. And Allah, so many times in abundance, Allah has given examples of how many times He told us about earning good deeds. So many. Every kalama, every verse, Rasulullah told us how much to recite something, what to do, how much is the reward. He said that due to this good deed, today if you do this deed for 1 second, if you spend this much, you will earn this many good deeds. This many good deeds. What is this? What is this explanation? What is this direction and coaching and teaching that's been given to us? Why have we frozen? Why don't we practice these things? Why don't we earn? Because we have two enemies alongside us. Nafs, the base desires, and shaitan, the devil. Why don't we understand? They are near to us, trying to influence us. So when we see that after this action, if I do this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me this reward, I will get 10 rewards, or 100 rewards, or 5 rewards, why do I reject that deed? Why do I reject that opportunity? Why do I shun that opportunity? Think. Let's think for a few moments that this hadith, if I pay attention with this hadith, that we will be desperate for just one deed on the Day of Judgment. Let's think for a few seconds that I will be that person who will be desperate for one deed on the Day of Judgment. Just think for a few seconds that that could be me. It could be you. Because this majlis, this gathering, assembly is for this reason. This is a tasawwuf gathering. We go through tazkiyah, purification, the pious predecessors, the example, so we can learn. This is a special, unique gathering where we can come together and learn and understand and become aware and alert. We should come in that way, and I should attend this gathering the same way. I should have one thought on my head, in my brain, that this gathering is unique. It is great, fantastic. Here we will earn tazkiyah, tafsir, akhirah, hereafter, success for the Day of Judgment. Fikr-e akhirah. Worry for the Day of Judgment. Then I will speak to you on that platform and you will listen on that platform. On that basis, here we don't just talk futile talk, waste of time discussion. Here's fikr of the hereafter, worry of the hereafter. Little examples, nice examples, so we can create that awareness. So as I was saying, as I was requesting, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many techniques, methods, paths, ways to earn good deeds. And after all of that, how many deeds do I earn? Let me think myself. I am a man. I'm created by Allah for this purpose, to do good. So how much have I earned with me? I've done Umrah, Hajj, I've prayed sometimes, or I've got good deeds. I think I'm fine, I'll be successful, I say to myself. Okay, so I say, yeah, I can never be that person who's desperate for one deed, because he's going to be desperate for one deed, and I've done many good deeds, so I won't be that person. Okay, let's take the example. Okay, let's go to the other side. I could be zero in my deeds on the Day of Judgment. And let's look here in the world. That if you've taken money from someone, you have to repay the debt, don't you? You have to repay the debt in this world, or don't you have to repay? When you take a loan, you have to repay that loan. I give you £100 as a loan, and I gave it as a loan, not qarz-e hasana. So that qarz-e hasana, will you pay that back to me? Because I did a loan to you, for goodness. Will that debt not be in your head? You have to pay me back, and when you repay that loan, will you be happy or not? Will you be happy or not? Tell me. So one loan, such a debt, you will have to repay in the hereafter, and they will be repaid through the deeds, through physical deeds. We will have to repay the debt. Whose debt? That I said something bad about someone in this world. I backbited against someone, slandered. So his debt is on my head. His loan I'll have to repay. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will have to allot X number of my good deeds to him, and Allah will be the witness in that case, on that court, on the Day of Judgment. And I cannot stop that. Oh, I'm not giving my deeds to him. No, these are mine. Don't snatch them from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind me and him what I did, or remind me and whoever that person was, and Allah will say a sign. So how many debts are on my head now while I'm living in this world? Think for a few moments. How many loans do I have to repay in the Day of Judgment? The thoughts in my heart against somebody. Even that is a debt I have to repay to that person. If I utter words against a person from my tongue, or from my mind, or from my hand, I do a deed against someone, or from looking, from my eyes, how am I looking at someone? Am I looking with envy, hatred, enmity, jealousy, or love, or malice? Then my eyes or will tell you or me, myself or ourselves, that how many sins I'm earned at that time. Just by looking at a person in that negative way, you can realize, has he got envy? Is he jealous? Does he hate the person? Has he got fire and raging in his heart? Or what is it? Or is he love that person? So from the hands, you can't tell as much as when you look at the eyes of a person. The eyes of a person. How many debts have come into my account today? So the credit balance and the debit balance. If I sit down and make my balance sheet for the day, for the last few weeks and months and years, how many debts I have to repay? I have to decide. And who will be the person who will say, who will remind me? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Will I be saved? Here, maybe somebody can say, no, I'm not paying him. Other, if I've taken money loans from the bank, or stolen money from people, if someone knocks on my door, oh, Sheikh Sahib, this student of yours, he's taking your money. And he can try his best to complain, isn't it? Or he'll go to someone, oh brother, can you decide between us? He was a person you know as well. This person took money from me. Can you make a decision on this case? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's my court. And first Allah will say, my servant, bring your deeds here and give them to this person, because you said this against that person, you did this against that person, you did this, and your deeds, my deeds will be transferred. Ulama, Qari, Hazrat Sheikh, Peer Sahib, the whole Ummah will be there in a line. And that's where we will realize that what was this person, what was his hasab. And I have to think that I should not even think for a second that I'm going to be that person who's desperate for a deed, because I won't even have that situation on the day. I'll be even worse than that person, worse off, that I won't have even any deeds left to my account. So let's awaken. Let's wake up. Death is on top of our heads. We could die any time. The grave is close to me. I could pass away any time. I've got no guarantee when I'm going to pass away. And how maut is getting closer to me. But our enemies, the nafs, the desires, and shaitan, they trick us. And they conjure up magic in front of our eyes. And they delay us. And they influence us in a wrong way. They inject thoughts into our hearts. You're never going to die. And they keep us thinking that we're so far from our grave, and they never allow the opportunity to come into my life that I can do good deeds so I can prepare for my hereafter. Am I right, my brothers, or am I wrong, my friends? This is the reality of Akhirah, hereafter, fikr of Akhirah, worry of the Akhirah. So if I don't have deeds, Allah will say, how many deeds? Somebody will be asked, oh, I've got 10,000 cars I've left behind. I've left it behind this much pounds, this many shops, this many bungalows, this many vehicles. Allah, please give these to this person who needs my deeds. Allah says, forget that. That's got zero value. Bring me one deed that you can give to this person. And he won't have the deed. 10,000 pounds, money, currency, bungalows, cars. He was running all his life. Every breath he utilized for the world. Allah will say, this has no value, O my servant. That's like the earth, the soil, sand, dust. It has no value in my court. And when the eyes open there, one deed will be so desperate, it will become so valuable that we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine how valuable. So today is the time. We have so many opportunities, massive quantity of deeds we can earn. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated a deed. Before that, I will say another point, that so many opportunities Allah has given to us. So many actions we can do for which we don't even have to make effort. We don't even have to struggle. There's no restriction in the amount of good deeds. Like for example, salah, you have to do wudu, you have to prepare, you have to pray this many units, this many nafil. But Allah Ta'ala has given us so many means to earn good deeds that we cannot imagine. No restrictions. Every second I can earn good deeds. Every second, how great is Allah and how great were the walis of Allah. Shall I tell you such a method? Such a tariqah. I admit that nafs and shaitan, they battle against us. They influence us. They try to lure us into the mud so we don't do good deeds. And mashallah, there's a majma here, a gathering here of people, an assembly. We are here for a specific purpose. We are here for tazkiyah and tafsiyah, for purification. May Allah Ta'ala give you mubarak. And may Allah Ta'ala give you the reward and the success. But there are many people who are not aware of this, who have not come to the path of tasawwuf and purification. They're not aware of how to purify themselves, how to become better people. So I will say one thing to you, that not everyone can do this. Not all of us. If I say today I make intention, I said, I'm going to be good from today. I'm going to do good deeds from today. And soon as I leave the masjid, the phone will ring. Soon as the phone rings, I'll hear something. Shaitan will start to dim the light of my iman. He'll bring the darkness in front of me. And the good deeds will go back. And the dunya will come in front of me. And may this not happen. But this is the game, the tussle. And only that person wins who goes on the right path, who takes hold of the tools to ward off the shaitan, the devil and the desires. And he takes the right nasiha, the right advices, and he will be successful. For example, I've said something today. Don't say something bad from me. Don't mind what I'm saying. Many brothers are sitting. Many people are listening. You will leave the masjid and you will meet someone by tomorrow morning and you'll make a deal. You'll have made the deal for the wrong deed. Look, we try our hardest, but you won't do those actions that I've given the standard on how we should act. Let's take the loan, for example. So I want to present to you a little piece of advice. Very easy method. And it's very valuable. I'm not saying this, that our pious predecessors prescribed this to us. Inshallah, guaranteed I say this. Guaranteed that today whoever sitting here and who has a lot of debts on his head, that he has to transfer the deeds on the Day of Judgment. You understand the definition of debt? Not money. The deeds that he will have to assign to others on the Day of Judgment. And he is desperate. And to repay the debts, his pocket is empty. He has no deeds. He doesn't understand. What will he do on the Day of Judgment? Inshallah, I am hopeful. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm hopeful that this advice I present to you today, because this is the assembly, we're here for this purpose, that pious predecessors have guaranteed that such an individual, if he goes, he will go with iman and forgiveness to the hereafter. He will go with iman and with forgiveness. He will be the richest person. Shall I tell you the method? You want to earn this good deed? Shall I tell you the method? But you'll have to practice. That's the condition. Raise your hands that you will practice. Raise your hands. MashaAllah. Very easy deed. The elders have prescribed to us the methods how to ward off and eliminate shaitan and nafs. How to turn them upside down. How to make them run away. How to oppose them. How to go against them. There's a mission. Shaitan and nafs have a mission. They want us to fall into the trench of hellfire. They want us to be unsuccessful. They want us to be naked on the Day of Judgment. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala created and sent His pious predecessors to the world, who taught us and gave us the method of how to ward off shaitan and nafs, that they totally destroyed the shaitan and the nafs. So let me tell you a method. Inshallah, if you practice this habit, this method, this I've tested. It is tested and proven. Yes? Proven and tested method. So it's difficult to control your desires, to earn good deeds every second, to always think about good deeds. It's difficult, isn't it? It's not easy. I speak honestly, openly. We're not angels. And you'll say, how can I always do good deeds? I've got to live in the dunya. I've got issues or problems around me. Okay, let's do one thing. Let's do one thing today. Inshallah, such good deeds you will earn that shaitan will stand there at the side. He'll be shocked. His jaw will drop. Shall I tell you the method? Very easy. That go and make friendship and connection with the friend of Allah. That's it. What shall I tell you to do? What's the advice? That we make friends in the world. We have friends. We have business associates. We have business friends. We have neighbors as friends. And friendships come and we make friends with the people in the world for different reasons. But listen to what I'm saying today. Create a connection, association and friendship, a link, a connection with a friend of Allah. A wali of Allah. Take a wali of Allah, anyone you see as a wali of Allah, and that's your standard, your criterion, your basis, what you see as compatibility. I won't say who that is. A friend of Allah. A wali of Allah. Make friendship with that person. Create a connection with that person. Establish a relationship with that person. Inshallah, you will recite the kalama and walk into paradise. Aha. Now I can prove this to you from the Quran and Hadith. I'm not speaking from my own mind. This is the method of the pious predecessors. Now let's consider I'm a box. Inside is nothing. I have nothing. This was my hal. I'll give you my example. I was totally empty. I had nothing. What did I do? I had nothing. No deeds. No strength of iman. I created friendship with a friend of Allah. Then I'll tell you what happened after that. So, when we... me, us, create friendship with a wali wala. I'm looking inside myself and analyzing the experience. Then what happens? Yeah, we're talking about friendship, isn't it? When you make a friendship with a wali wala, whatever actions he does, you will do. Isn't it? Because he's your friend. Otherwise, you're not friends, are you? If you have friendship, true friendship, the actions of your friend will rub off onto you. He prays salah, you'll say, okay, let me pray salah, because I'm his friend. He's doing tasbih, you'll say, okay, I'll do tasbih as well. He's doing dhikr, you say, okay, I'll do dhikr as well. You see him pray tahajjud, he's habitual in tahajjud. You say, okay, I'll start praying tahajjud. He may be late in following and copying, but he'll one day start to emulate his friend. Okay? So a friend is just like the friends he keeps. And this is a habit. The habits start to build up. If you make friendship with people, and inshallah upon you will be the color, the habits and the ways, the methods of your friend. And there are three things you have to see and identify in the friend. The wali of Allah, there are three criterion that are essential in this friend of Allah, that who you are going to make the friendship with. There are three things. One is i'tiqad, one is love, muhabbat, and one is itaat and service. Yes. So these three connections you have to have with that, with the wali of Allah. You have itiqad with the wali of Allah, that whatever he says from the light of Quran and Hadith, and I believe and trust this. I have total yaqeen and certainty that whatever this wali says and does, he speaks from Quran and Hadith. He doesn't look at kashf and visions and miracles. He doesn't follow any of that. Whatever he says and speaks and practices is Quran and Hadith. No karamat, no visions, no miracles, nothing. Just two standards, Quran and Hadith. This is the platform you have to measure that person, gauge that person on. That whatever he says and does, is he doing according to Quran and Hadith? That's the first thing. Itiqad. When you become a friend of somebody, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you become a friend with my wali, with my friend, with a person who's close to me, then Allah ta'ala says that into your heart will come the love for that wali of mine, for my friend. Automatically the love will come, with no restrictions, no conditions, no preconditions. So when the love develops in your, my heart for the wali of Allah, then that love will commit another thing, good thing to occur. What will happen? The love will build, it will grow, it will generate to the point that you will then start to imitate that wali, that sheikh, that wali of Allah. Is this love? No, but when we start to love the wali of Allah, he'll say, oh, he will never force you, he never will never push you. So whatever he's done, this is the sign of love. This is the sign of love. Yes? So if I say today, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many people, ashik, so-called lovers. How many ashikin, there are so-called lovers, but the ashik, the lover is he who imitates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who follows the sunnah path in his life. And the rest they can say and do what they want. They can have their own standard. But the standard, the gauge to accept a person in their love for Rasulullah ﷺ is, does he do ittiba of the sunnah? The more ittiba, obedience and imitation of the sunnah, the more he is the lover of Rasulullah ﷺ. And he practices, becomes such a lover that Rasulullah ﷺ said that I will hold his finger and walk with him into paradise on the day of judgment. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. This is a hadith, isn't it? Man habba sunnati fa man habbani. That he who loves my sunnah, then I will love him. So when you have friendship and true love in your heart generated for a certain person, for Rasulullah, then obviously you will start to follow Rasulullah. Now we take the wali of Allah. When the love of the wali of Allah comes into your heart, then obviously you will copy, imitate him, and then you will follow, copy, emulate the wali of Allah, and his habits will come into your life. Good deeds will come to your life. The debt will reduce and the credit will increase. So the debt will reduce and the credit will increase. So itiqad, belief in the sheikh, in the teacher, and muhabbat and love, and khidmat and service. Of the teacher, this is called rabta sheikh. These are the principles of tasawwuf, of rectification of the heart. When you have these three connections with the teacher, then you have nothing to worry about. You will become habitual in imitating and obeying and following the teacher who is a good guide, who is a good human being, who teaches good things. And this is the point, that when you see a sheikh, when you go to a khanqa, when you go to the place of learning, to the wali of Allah, the sheikh, then you'll see all of his marids, you will see the same color of the practice of the deen. Go to a khanqa, you will see that color. From far, you'll say, oh, is this the marid of that sheikh? Is he the marid of this sheikh? Don't they say that? People say this. I'm speaking about the walis of Allah, that this is the marid, the student of this sheikh. Why? Because when the color rubs off onto the student, this is the principle, the law. And this, I'm telling you the good news of Jannah, paradise. When I say to you that if you love a wali of Allah, then Jannah will become lazim on that person. Definitely he will go to Jannah. Guaranteed. He will be forgiven. I'm not saying this. No. As Anas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, stated that the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated. This is the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not my saying. Anta ahabba. Anta ahabba. Man ahabbata. This is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, that whoever you love, you will be with that person in paradise. You'll be with that person in paradise. The person you love, you will be with that person in paradise. So if you love such an individual in the world today, who is living his life, earning paradise, earning good deeds, and if the people of the world say he is a pious person, he is destined for paradise, then Rasulullah said, has told us already, if you love that person, then you will go to paradise with that person. Most definitely. So my brother, this is the formula that the walis of Allah presented to fight off shaitan and the nafs. Because we are weak, we cannot oppose them ourselves. We try, then he tricks us. Shaitan's clever, he's cunning. So definitely to ward off shaitan and nafs, we need an assistant. a friend who will assist us, and he will take the fight to shaitan and nafs. And Rasulullah SAW has proven that if you do this action, make a friendship, a connection, and love a wali of Allah, a pious person, your friendship with that person, then you will start to copy that person, emulate that person, and for you, the doors of paradise will be opened. My brothers, this is a great way, a great method. May Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice this. Look, I'll give you an example of a great wali of Allah, great pious predecessor, Hazrat Sayyid Suleiman Nadwi Rahmatul Alayhi, great scholar. And all the ulama ikram, they know him, and he did a great action. The Hazrat Shibli Rahmatul Alayhi was writing the seerah, and it was incomplete, and this was the student of Hazrat Shibli Rahmatul Alayhi, and he completed the seerah in various volumes, and such a mustanad, complete seerah, the whole world accepts and respects that seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about his life, his condition, his habits, and this is the historical piece of writing, great piece, Hazrat Suleiman Nadwi Rahmatul Alayhi. So when he completed this seerah, various volumes, what a great piece of work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him do. Then Allah ta'ala, upon every deed, Allah ta'ala gives a reward. Remember this principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the hadith that whenever you love someone, Allah ta'ala makes you connected to that person, you'll be with that person. So the apparent, Allah ta'ala made his love for his shaykh apparent, that he wrote the whole kitab of the seerah, and such events he wrote in the seerah. And while he was reading the hadith, the events of the sahaba, how angels would have been sending rahmah, the message of rahmah to him. How the angels would have been delivering the message of rahmah to him. Allah's fazl would have come to him. And until qiyamah, people will read that seerah. Then tell me how much reward he is earning right now. And how right now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be happy with him. How Allah ta'ala rained the mercies onto him. And what is his reward? One point I will tell you, one point. He sat down, and he didn't have a link with a sheikh up to that time. He didn't go to the company of a sheikh. But as I've told you before, and as I've told you today, this is the sunnah of Allah. This is the principle of Allah. That every person, if you are alone, then nafs, desires and shaitan will wrap around you. They'll whisper to you, enshroud you, influence you. So he was on his own. He had done a great deed, but he was still alone. And death was still not near to him. Maybe shaitan and nafs will attack him. Even though he's done such a great work of writing the seerah, maybe shaitan and nafs will attack him. And he will go into debt and he will need the deeds. So Allah Ta'ala prepared for his connection with the wali of Allah. How Allah Ta'ala prepared for him. So what happened? He had nafs. He knew that he had done a good piece of writing, and he had done a historical piece of writing, and then people in the world are praising him. When you do a good deed, people in the world will praise you. Oh, you've done a good deed, a good action, and then you forget the humbleness. Because if you don't kill off your nafs and desires, you may start to show off and have pride. Oh, I've done this, I've written this, and you hear people saying that you've done a good piece of work. Then you are going into loss because you are showing off. You've got pride, and shaitan is making you feel haughty and proud and showing off to people. And some people, they get happy when they feel good about their work and when others praise them about their work. So Allah Ta'ala sent the mercy to him, the reward to him for akhirah, for hereafter. How he was sitting, suddenly he thought, because Allah Ta'ala selected him. So historical writing, he did the seerah, suddenly he thought, he started to cry in isolation on his own. He started to say, Suleiman, you've written this seerah, this book of seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've done such a great action, a good action. But what's inside you? Are you humble? Are you pious? Are you pure? Has this seerah book affected me? Have I changed my life to the better? Have I suddenly shaken myself? Has a jolt come inside me to make me realize I'm a human being? Have I done good? Otherwise, who could have made him think this? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent his mercy. He knew he'd done such a great action, so Allah ta'ala showed him the path out of darkness. What a great path. So he started to think, he started to cry, he started to regret, he started to regret, and he was distressed, he was sad. He was so sad that Allah Ta'ala suddenly put into his heart a thought that, look, I don't know about myself. I don't know if I'm successful. I can't guarantee myself. For example, you are getting ready for Jummah. Jummah has come, and you don't have a mirror in your house, and you want to put your imam on, apply the surma into your eyes, you want to prepare, get dressed. Now, if you don't have the mirror, you'll be lost. You'll be slightly lost. How do I put my clothes on? How do I look at myself? How do I prepare myself? So until and unless if I don't have a mirror in front of me to show me my reflection of my deficiencies, what bad things are inside me? How is my nafs tricking me? What are the defects in my life? Then I won't have that success. I won't know what to do to correct myself. So he suddenly thought that there's a great person, that people, he is Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. He is the Sheikh of the time. Suddenly he prepared, he got himself together, and he reached to the location of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah. When he got to the Khanqah, he was amazed. Hazrat Thanvi thought that, where shall I make him sit? That he was an insan and he was famous, mashallah, for the work he had done. But Allah Ta'ala said, no, this will not be enough for you. Only what I have told you in the rising, you will have to grab hold of the company of the wali, of my wali, of my teacher, who will do your tazkiyah and tafsiyah, who will correct you, and he will teach you the purification. There's no guarantee, brothers, if I don't take hold of the rope and the connection with the wali of Allah, who's wali of Allah, a sheikh, who's qualified to do my tazkiyah and tafsiyah. He said, Hazrat, I've come for this reason. Hazrat said, why have you come? He said, Hazrat, I've come to purify myself, to rectify myself. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said, I became distressed. What nasiha will I give to this person? He said, what nasiha will I give to him? He said, okay, wait. Wait for a while. Because he was Hakimul Ummat at that time. He said, let me think. I thought, how will I treat him? How will I coach him? How will I direct him? 3 days and three nights he was a guest. Hazrat Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah, he was a guest in Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah's Khanqah. And then Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was thinking, how will I do his rectification? How will I correct him? How shall I treat him? How shall I coach him? How shall I prescribe to him? So on the third day, Hazrat said, you can go. You have spent 3 days here in the Khanqah, and you can go. And at that time, Hazrat Arif Billah, Dr. Abdul Hayy, rahmatullah, also used to attend the Khanqah. Hazrat, many mashayikh used to go there. And these were his marids, Hazrat Thanvi's marids. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy told me this event, rahmatullah alayhi. He said then, Hazrat Sulaiman Nadwi was told to depart, and he put his head on the concrete and started to cry. He cried. Dr. Abdul Hayy said, I went and said, Hazrat, why are you crying, O Sulaiman Nabi? Why are you crying? He said, that my friend, my brother, I thought I was an alim. I thought I was a scholar. I don't know what I thought I was. I don't know what I thought. I had ilm and knowledge and so much. I swear I had no knowledge. This is the ilm that I've learned here in these last 3 days and nights. And he started to cry again. And Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah said that you are now going. He said, Hazrat, please focus, pay some attention to me, some love. And Hazrat, I'm just telling you, he paid some attention to him. Then the words that came from Hazrat's tongue, and he was successful. He said, for the reason you have come, for the mission that you came, that only one thing can make you successful, become fana. Totally immerse yourself. Totally immerse yourself, he said. And he stated, Hazrat Sulaiman rahmatullah, that when Hazrat said with his hand, he hinted that become fana, immerse yourself, totally assign yourself. He said, suddenly everything, the jinnat and the nafs, everything came out of my heart. My whole life turned upside down at that time. Hazrat Sulaiman rahmatullah said, all of my desires and issues and maladies and darkness and sins came out of my heart. And the pride went. As Dr. Abdullah said, that after a few days I went to his house, I knew who he was. And when I went to his home, I could not see what I saw before. There was a straw mat, a lotta, a vessel, a tasbih, a miswak. The whole world had become so simple, sincere and humble, and become a beautiful home of simplicity and preparation for hereafter. My brothers, this is the situation, that this is the advice that I've just told you. Alhamdulillah, we should practice on this advice, that create a connection with the wali of Allah based on three connection points, three connectivity points. If we don't have those points, then we cannot be successful. One is itiqad, total belief. Doesn't matter what the world says, say, this is my sheikh, and through him I will attain the path of Allah. People can say what they want, but my sheikh is my sheikh. Have itiqad, total, solid, so much solid should be your itiqad. Doesn't matter what excuse comes, you should have respect and ihtiram for everyone, but you should have itiqad and total yaqeen and certainty and connection with your sheikh. If you have these three things and the three connection with your sheikh, you don't have to give any money, no charity there, you don't have to do anything else there, no transactions, nothing else. Just itiqad, belief in your sheikh, service with to the sheikh, and muhabbat and sheikh. Number one, itiqad, total solid itiqad and belief in the sheikh. Not that you believe and then you leave. That you have certainty, then you leave, because tests will come. The challenge will come, because you have to reach to Allah, brothers. To get to London, you have certain tests. You have to buy the ticket, the coach is not there, the booking's cancelled, you can't get the seat. You have to go Umrah, so many challenges and tests to get there. We want to get to Allah, our Mawla, our Creator. We think it's an easy challenge, an easy journey. There will be no tests or obstacles. Three tests you have to pass. That with the Shaykh, you have to have itiqad, total yaqeen and certainty. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. Number two, immerse yourself in his love. And number three, have itaat and khidmat and serve the teacher. When these three things come into your connection with your teacher, such a friendship, I swear that this will reach and make you reach to Jannah, guaranteed from the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the guarantee that Rasulullah sallam has given to us, that whoever you love, man habba, you will go to paradise with that person. May Allah ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, the ability. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.